episode 10. I cannot believe how quickly that has gone.
Welcome to the Curiosity Club podcast, a safe place to get your weekly dose of life lessons, helping you let go of fear, overwhelm, and insecurity. I'm your host, Katri Barrett, and with each episode, I share my insights and practical skills for you to unlock your full potential. Live and work confidently. Be courageous. Be curious. Because life's too short to keep holding yourself back.
Hello, hello. I am so excited that we are at episode 10. I cannot believe how quickly that has gone. I want to start by saying a huge thank you to all of you that are showing up and committing to your development each week in this way. It's so inspiring to see, and it's been amazing to speak to some of you and hear how the topics are resonating and helping. Together, we are all part of the Curiosity Club. And the club is worldwide. You're listening from Malawi, Egypt, Malaysia, Australia, France, and of course, my homeland of the UK. I've got lots of exciting plans for this community. I'm currently arranging some fantastic guests to come on the podcast and share their stories of successes, failures, and how they manage their mental and physical health. That will be coming to you next month, those interviews. So stay tuned for those. And do let me know if there's anyone in particular you want me to have on as a guest. Send me a message and let me know your thoughts on that. To celebrate this fantastic milestone and to say thank you, I want to offer you something special by giving you the chance to win a 90-minute online coaching session with me. It's online, so you can be anywhere in the world. You just need a good internet connection. To enter and have a chance of winning this coaching session, you need to do three things. Firstly, you need to be following me on Instagram. I'm at Katri Barrett. Secondly, you need to tag three friends in the comments of my Instagram post who might also like to win a session with me. It needs to be in the comments of my post from today, which is the audio clip on IGTV of this episode and where I'm talking about the competition. So I'll mention it in the description of the post. And lastly, so the third thing you need to do is to sign up to the Curiosity Club mailing list, which you can either find via the link in the show notes here or the link in my Instagram bio. I'm so excited to work with one of you and explore what I talk about on here on the podcast in real life. It's going to be really good. I'm really excited about it. So do make sure you do those three things. Follow me, tag three friends, sign up to the mailing list. Unfortunately, I won't be able to take any submissions that haven't done all those three things, so make sure you do it. Anyway, moving on to today's episode. We've all met those people who seem to have a certain air about them. Those that are so comfortable in their own skin and who never seem to let things keep them down. The type of people that always have fun yet are able to work really hard, who get the best relationships and all the success in their career. But why? What is it that enables them to do this? The answer is that they are emotionally healthy. They've got high emotional intelligence, and this is what I want to talk to you today about. So what does being emotionally healthy mean? What is emotional intelligence? It's having the ability to understand our emotions, being able to really feel them, to identify them, and being able to name them. It's about allowing our emotions to be there without resisting or reacting to them. It's being able to regulate our own emotions and manage other people's. When we're able to accept our humanness in this way, this is where the magic happens. And there's decades of research now that shows that good levels of emotional intelligence is what sets star performers apart from the pack in terms of success. It can be something that you develop, and in order to do so, if you want to develop your emotional health and intelligence, you need to work on the following five components. The first of which being self-awareness. So the ability to recognize and understand your emotions and reactions. The second being self-management, and this is the ability to control, manage, and adapt our moods, reactions, and responses. Third, we have motivation. This is having the ability to harness your emotions in order to motivate yourself to take whatever appropriate action you need in order to reach your goals. Or perhaps sometimes the motivation to choose when not to take action and practice self-control. The fourth element of emotional health is empathy, something that some people perhaps struggle with, whereas others have it a little bit more naturally. It's the ability to discern the feelings of other people, to understand their emotions, and use that understanding to help relate to others more effectively. An incredibly useful ability, whether in work or our personal lives. And the fifth component that makes up in emotional intelligence is social skills. This is our ability to build relationships, to relate to others in social situations, to lead others, negotiate conflict, and to work as part of a team. So let's start by talking about the core of emotional health, self-awareness. This awareness of self is what differentiates us from most of other animals on Earth. It's what enables us to have a sense of identity. However, some people don't even really know themselves at all, or if they do, perhaps they don't really like themselves. In order to be able to better manage our emotions and to better handle negative ones, we must first know what it is we are feeling. It goes beyond just recognizing said feelings, but also acknowledging the effect that your own actions, your own moods and emotions have on other people. In order to develop this awareness, you must first be able to self-monitor. You need to be able to notice when an emotive reaction is triggered in you, and then be able to identify exactly which emotions you are feeling. And this is hard. It's something that has been highlighted for me when I have been working with coaches in the past. I had one coach in particular a few years ago, and I really struggled to articulate exactly what it was I was feeling, although I thought I knew. I would say things like, oh, I felt bad or good, or that I enjoyed something. But these are very vague and very superficial. In order to really understand myself and my experience, I needed to go deeper beneath the surface. So rather than saying I felt bad when talking about an ex-partner who cheated on me, I needed to be able to detail the betrayal, the deceit, the shame that it caused me to feel. Once we have clarity like this, it makes things easier to process and ultimately gives us the clarity we need to be able to set in place actions that help us create change. One really good way of developing your self-awareness is by keeping a diary of situations that trigger a strong emotive response in you, positive or negative. Write down what your thoughts and any behaviours were at the time. For example, if you're an emotional eater, I know I certainly am, it can be useful to record what thoughts preceded you feeling frustrated with yourself after a late night snacking session. Maybe you thought about how behind you were with all your work and that you were useless for not having crossed everything off your to-do list that day. The behaviour that those thoughts triggered in you was to then eat a family-sized bar of chocolate and four slices of toast. So recording and collecting information like this then helps you work towards the second feature of emotional health, which is self-regulation. Self-regulation means getting yourself to a point where you're able to express your emotions suitably. It means stopping resisting any unwanted emotions, allowing whatever you feel to come in, but then choosing your reaction appropriately. A good example for this is if your partner gets a message from an ex, and perhaps jealousy and insecurities immediately spring up for you. Being able to self-regulate means you choose whether you start an argument with your partner who has only ever showed you love or respect, or whether you sit with that emotion, knowing that you're completely justified in feeling it given your past experiences. So you sit with those feelings of jealousy and insecurities until they dissipate. Because it will dissipate, and often much quicker than when we don't act upon the emotion. Often when we sit with things, rather than resisting them, they will soften and go away more quickly. Often we are scared of feeling any emotion that isn't positive. We all want to be happy all of the time. Not only is this completely unrealistic, but also it would be boring as hell, to be honest, without those less desirable feelings like hurt, disappointment, and shame. We wouldn't be able to feel their counterparts, which would be elation, fulfillment, and confidence, because we would have nothing to compare them to. We need emotional diversity. A couple of ways that you can work on improving your self-regulation are firstly to take more responsibility if you've made any mistakes. We're all human, and there are times that we all perhaps react in ways we later realise weren't the best way to handle something. Rather than blaming others, hold your hands up and admit when you're at fault. Not only does this make you feel less guilty, but it also strengthens your relationships because people will respect you for doing so. And like I mentioned in the last episode, another powerful technique is breathing. This can really help you here. And a really good technique is just counting, controlled breathing. So counting your inhale and exhale. So breathe in for 5 and out for 5. Whenever you notice that something has triggered a strong emotive response for you, I find it absolutely amazing the power this can have. Even if you just do it for a minute or so, the ability it gives you to just diffuse a situation, creating space between you and whatever's triggered you to feel that way. And, you know, that space allows you to choose whether you react more calmly. Give it a go the next time you feel that kind of strong reaction. Inhale for 5. Exhale for 5. Breathe in to 5. Out for 5. Self-regulation definitely doesn't mean suppressing or squashing your emotions down. If we feel something, there's a perfectly justified reason why. And if we try to ignore emotions, they will only become stronger and perhaps affect us in ways that don't serve us. By creating this space between yourself and the emotion, by becoming more self-aware or practicing the breathing technique, you give yourself the opportunity to choose a time, a place, or a way to express said feelings that best suits you and any other people involved. People who are skilled at this self-management tend to be more resilient. They bounce back from challenges more quickly, adapt well to change, and they tend to be better at dealing with conflict. This is because rather than unknowingly letting their emotions control them, they have taken control of their emotions. So the next step after this self-management toward your journey of emotional health is working on motivation. This is your ability to harness your emotions and use them as a driving force to take action that moves you towards your goals, whatever your goals might be. People who are skilled in this focus on intrinsic motivators, meaning that they are more driven by things they have a passion for, things that fulfill their inner needs and goals. This is opposed to being focused on external rewards like fame, recognition, and money. And that's what's more important to them, and often the external rewards will come along by default. They are action-orientated people. They take the steps necessary in order to reach whatever it is they want to work towards, whether it's a fitness goal, a career change, or a new relationship. And there's no other reason for doing this than it feeling satisfying to them. When you use your emotions, positive or negative, as motivators, it reduces your likelihood of procrastinating because you're clear on your why. It makes you feel more confident because you're living in a way that's true to you, and it helps keep you focused on those end goals. It can be helpful with this to ask yourself, why do you do the things you do? Is it for external rewards or perhaps to avoid some sort of punishment? It's kind of obvious that if we're only or even mostly doing things because it earns us the most money or gets us the most likes or the most praise from our friends, and it isn't in line with who we truly are and it doesn't make us feel fulfilled, isn't it kind of obvious that this is never going to be good for our emotional health? So recognize the things you do just because you enjoy it. What puts you in your flow state and leaves you feeling content? These are more of the things that you need to do and bring into your life. So my tips for increasing your motivation are: keep reminding yourself of your why. Why are you working those extra hours? Why did you break up with your ex-boyfriend? Why do you like exercising? And also choose to remain optimistic. Even when you suffer a challenge or a setback, identify at least one positive factor about it. Because there is always one when we look for it. Sometimes it requires a little bit of digging around, but even out of what seems to be the darkest situation, when we look and hunt, we can find some light. So really try to give that a go. Choose to be optimistic. Once we have the ability to know what makes us feel good in an intrinsic way, and that it's coming from these internal motivations rather than things that are coming from external factors, we can then work on the fourth element. And the fourth element is empathy. With empathy, some people naturally find it easier to understand the feelings of other people, whilst others find it more challenging. But like all these other steps, it is something you can work on. This essential factor of our emotional intelligence is more than just knowing how other people are feeling. It's also about being conscious of how to respond to someone. Say you're aware that a friend is really excited about a date they're going on. Being empathetic means that you can read the most appropriate way for you to reflect their feeling back to them. In this situation, you'd share in their excitement. Ask them where they're going, what they're going to wear. Let them know that you're sharing their buzz. We probably all have that person in our lives that perhaps kills our vibe every now and then by not sharing in our enthusiasm, and also doesn't know how to pick us up when we're feeling bad. Their reaction to the friend that's excited about going on a date would perhaps be to remind them of how it didn't work out last time with their ex and that they need to be wary of meeting a stranger off a dating app. And this leaves the friend feeling slightly deflated. It kind of bursts your bubble when people respond to you inappropriately. It doesn't mean that someone doesn't care or is a bad person at all. It's just that they struggle with relating to how other people feel and therefore knowing how they should be reacting to situations. People who are empathetic are very good at showing others they care because they're able to be more compassionate. Being able to sympathise in this way is invaluable when it comes to building relationships. Whether it's with employees, friends or lovers, people are going to respond, respect and remember us in a much more positive light when we can consider their feelings. Ways that you can improve your empathy are to imagine yourself in someone else's position. Even if you haven't experienced the exact same thing before, think of a time you felt a similar emotion. And the second is to really listen to others. This is so important. I've even done a whole episode on the importance of developing your listening skills before. I think it's episode 4, so do go and check that out after this if you haven't listened to it. And most importantly, I think, is trying to understand others before we make any snap judgments. A really good example of this, a very common snap judgment that I think a lot of people make, is presuming people are rude just because they perhaps don't talk very much or perhaps don't ask questions. just presuming they're disinterested for doing so. And in actual fact, often when we take the time to understand them a little bit more, we might realise that they actually suffer from social anxiety and they really come out of their shell with a little bit of extra compassion and a softer way of approaching conversation. Being empathetic leads us to being able to develop our social skills, which is the final component of good emotional health. Effective social skills consist of managing and maintaining relationships in a way that benefits all of those involved. This is having the ability to pull together all of the information we collect through being empathetic, through being more self-aware, and using that information in all of our daily interactions and communications. These are the qualities that enable great leaders to build rapport with their clients and colleagues whilst earning their respect and loyalty. It enables you to gain the trust of other people because they feel comfortable coming to you with concerns or ideas. These are really important assets, especially if you lead a team or offer a service such as life coaching, where effective communication is vital in order to achieve positive results. So again, a few ways that you can improve your social skills are to work on developing your communication skills. Thinking about how you're listening to people. So listen to that podcast or re-listen to it, that previous episode I did. Be aware of your tone of voice when you're speaking to people and your manner of speaking. Is it approachable? Do you come across as empathetic? And in particular, notice your body language. Do you have your arms folded when someone's perhaps telling you how they feel? Are you making eye contact to show that you're listening? Are you nodding and making appropriate gestures? The next thing that you can do is to praise others for how they're doing things. And with permission, offer constructive feedback. But make sure you're being empathetic when you're doing this. There is a difference between criticism and constructive feedback. So you need to be empathetic in order to make sure that that feedback is constructive. And lastly, when you're faced with conflict, try to look at it from all the viewpoints of everyone involved. And this way you can find a compromise that benefits everybody. It's a really important one. I can almost guarantee that the reason you are currently holding yourself back from achieving any goals and living the life that you daydream and even nightdream of is because you're afraid of feeling bad if you fail at said dream and don't get what you want. But the truth of the matter is you already feel bad for not even trying, right? So what is the harm in just going for it? Work on these five areas of your emotional health, and it is going to help you do this. By doing so, you will build better relationships with yourself and others. You'll feel more fulfilled in your life, and you'll be able to chase those dreams without letting fear get in the way. What I want you to take from this episode is the importance of embracing your humanness. Don't be afraid of feeling certain things. Be open, because when we are open to feeling fear or jealousy or anger and let go of that unrealistic desire to be happy all of the time, we are able to open ourselves up to the fact that we are living a human experience, and this is beautiful. Ultimately, feelings cannot hurt us. They're harmless when we choose not to react to them in a negative way. And most importantly, of course, is to stay curious. Be curious about feelings that come up, why they're coming up, and how you can sit with them. How can you choose your reaction? Like, curiosity is key here. Don't forget, make sure you enter the competition to win a free session with me. I cannot wait to work with one of you. So until next time, my loves, stay curious.